Now by head coach Parker Burgess of your Vancouver Giants. And Parker, a great start for your team tonight. Where did it go from there? Was it a matter of Seattle kind of getting on their game, or do you feel like your guys maybe lost the edge a bit as the game went along?
No, I don't think it was that. I thought first period we probably let them off the hook a little bit. That's a period, you know, with how good we were, you'd like to be in a position where, you know, you're up two or maybe even three, and it's potentially a different game. I actually thought the start of the second period, we had some really good looks, some really good chances. We had Tobias on the power play, had one he just missed. Gerois had one backdoor that would have liked to have seen him, you know, maybe one time he caught and released. We had a shift there probably 5 minutes into the first period where we were able to get a full ozone line change and kind of wearing them down. And then we had, one breakdown in the D zone that they capitalized on, and then kind of took the wind out of our sails a little bit, I thought. Another one there to make it 2-1. I think shots in the second were 14-13 or something like that. And then third period was a little bit back and forth, special teams. And then we had a little bit of a push in the final 10 minutes. We had some, like, grade A open looks coming downhill. Tomic, Oreskovic, Tittlebach has two breakaways. And anytime you get 39, 40 shots on net, you got to find a way to capitalize and convert on some of those, and you're not going to win too many games only scoring one goal. So that was kind of the story tonight.
It's one of those where you guys probably deserve a better fate. Could have been up by a couple goals, certainly after the first period that you had, and you chalk that up to things that happen over the course of a season and keep it as fuel for tomorrow against Kamloops?
Yeah, we'll dive into some video, and I know the guys are disappointed. We've had some. Yeah, I mean, you feel like you deserve a little bit better given the shot totals. And, you know, I thought the first and third we were the much better team. But, you know, you have to convert on your chances. And then, you know, just special teams. You know, I think we had three power plays and, you know, we had some good looks. But you got to start seeing some of those pucks go in the net, you know. And I think, you know, they were 1-for-4. I thought our penalty kill did a good job outside of the one that they ended up getting. We had an opportunity to maybe get a block or... And, you know, they converted and put us in a position where, you know, 2-1, 3-4 minutes, 2-3-4 minutes left, and you're only down one. It's a little different circumstance than being down two. So
it seemed like the start, from my perspective, a lot of what was positive in that first period was driven by a lot of former Thunderbirds, maybe a little very inspired, perhaps, taking on their former team. This was a heavy physical game, especially early on. It seemed like a lot of the kind of lower of the lineup guys, the guys that have been acquired from Seattle over the course of this season, your Charcos, Gerois, and especially Jackson Polinchuk, were laying the body on that forecheck. Is that something that you can carry over into teams that are not, you know, when they're facing their former team?
Yeah, I would like to hope so. I thought they did a good job. I thought the first period, we, like you said, we really tilted the ice and dictated the play. I think at one point shots were 12-1, and so you got to really like our start. But again, you just, you know, the killer instinct in those situations when you can smell blood and you have the momentum, you'd like to see your team be able to convert on maybe one or two more, especially, you know, on the power play. But I thought those guys had good energy, and I'm sure they'll be ready to go tomorrow.
Coach, the things that cause a team to lose, they don't change. You can hide them, you can delay them, but they eventually catch up with you. Period two, how can we not keep up that intensity? When you start stick-waving a little bit, right? And you, that first period, again, it's so connected offensively, so connected defensively. It could have been a bigger score. Obviously, the game's 40 minutes. You can't win it in the first. You can lose it in the first. We have found that out. But what jumps up in your mind, apart from the chances that you missed, that you weren't able to sustain that pressure?
Yeah, I mean, credit to Seattle. Like, you know, after a first period like that and the position that they're in, they're gonna work to fight their way back a little bit. And, you know, I thought, we talked to the guys after the first period, and, you know, I thought the level we were at in comparison to the level that they were at in the first period, we knew that they were going to come out and match that. So it was our job to elevate even further and dig in a little bit more. And, you know, whether it's a few little battles on you know, there was a couple on the power play I just didn't think we were heavy enough on. But, yeah, just, you know, you dictate the pace of a game defending, you got to defend and you got to check, but you can dictate the momentum and the pace of the game by having the puck and owning the puck. And whether it's face-offs, puck races, puck battles, putting pucks in good areas, staying over top of it, that's what wears teams down, and it builds life for your group. And I thought they were just a little heavier in the second period in a couple certain areas. And then, you know, again, just two, you know, I thought breakdowns were one guy, and it is. It's about being connected, and especially in the D zone. And we had in both goals against, one guy was out of position, and their guy ended up being the one to put it in the back of the net. So it's a hard lesson to learn, but you need all five guys connected in the D zone.
Okay, your identity as a player is never a singular act. It's what you do repeatedly. I mean, we've seen that here, obviously, with giants like Bowen Byram and Gallagher and Lucic, and last year, you know, with Berkeley Cat and the Andrew Crystals. Do you are you as a coach at this point in the season now seeing enough of an identity from the guys that their players are doing the good things, the things that help you win over and over again?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think we're seeing it more consistently in certain guys. But again, it's about doing it all the time, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the period, regardless how the period before went, whether you're at home or on the road. And that's the, you know, that's the challenge for young players, is learning the consistency regardless of how you feel and what the external things that are going on around you. You've got to do your job in all three zones and be relied on. And again, like, I think there's been, you know, tremendous growth out of a lot of younger players, a lot of other guys, but it's shift in, shift out. And, you know, if you aren't connected one shift, and maybe you're not focused on being in the right spot at the right time or stopping, or, you know, just those little details, you know, this league will make you pay.
You know, yours is a very interesting situation. You're going from a USHL championship team in Muskegon last year. Now you're coaching a team that's struggling, okay, for a fair period of time. And it's a tough spot that you're in, I'm sure. And I appreciate you always coming up and explaining, as you do. Moving forward to the last part of the schedule, how do you deal with this spot, or how are you going to deal with the fact giving space and time to the guys on this team to become better players? In other words, you give them a little longer runway, you know, because they can become good players. Good players can, given that space and a little extra time, maybe they can become great players. Is that a dilemma that you're going to have to figure out how to work that all in?
Yeah, you balance it. You know, I think I benefit from it. It's definitely sometimes an emotional challenge going from a finely tuned machine where you have a championship culture, you have a championship group, the habits, the details, they just, you know what to expect as a coach. But you know, the greatest challenges and the greatest opportunities for growth as a coach are when you have teams like this. You have to coach, you know, sometimes.
Coach hard.
Yeah, you got to coach hard, and it's every day, and it's the habits, it's the details, it's the little things, and you can't let your team off the hook for them. And it's hard because it can be the difficulty and the challenge is it can be a bit of an emotional roller coaster for the players, for the coaches, for the fans. But it that's what helps you grow as a coach, I think. And, you know, when you do have whether it's a veteran roster or a roster and a team that's ready to compete for a championship, you kind of have your hands off the wheel. You know, the players are doing it. And
you almost don't want to screw it up.
Yeah, right? You just kind of little nudges here and there, and you just let the boys run. But I think the benefit for me is I got to live it firsthand being in the USHL, going through this exact same scenario. Like year one, we were in the exact same situation, and we took our lumps. You know, we were going up against Macklin Celebrini on Chicago, Will Smith, Gabe Perreault, Ryan Leonard on the program, and we had some tough, tough nights. And we were very young, and, you know, we had these 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds that were competing their butts off. And, again, too, you were just looking for, like, the small signs of growth and the foundational pieces that – you knew we're going to benefit not only the individual players, but the team. And so living through that, you know, after that first year, and seeing the growth and the hunger from the group, and going through the tough times. It is. It's just like life. There's adversity and there's hard challenges and tough times. But, you know, as long as you stick to it and you move forward and you keep your belief and your confidence, you know that everybody wants it right away and they want it tomorrow and they want it. But sometimes it's a longer process and it's tough to be patient. We went from year one to year two, and a lot of those 16-year-olds, you know, in that second year, we ended up having two first-round draft picks and seven total NHL draft picks that I don't think they get there. I mean, I'm sure a lot of them still get drafted in the first rounders and things like that, but it pushed them to even higher. They just had all that experience. They were thrown into the fire. And then in the second year, we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then in the third year, we ended up winning a championship. And even the players that weren't on the championship team, that were on the team from year one, the investment and the level of ownership, and they knew what they went through and what they did, enabled the group 2-3 years down the road to have a lot of those successes. So I understand that in junior hockey, especially given the landscape, there's more turnover than ever. It's, you know, guys are going to come and go, and you're not always going to have that same team. But the experiences that they go through and the work that guys like Volatoski are putting in, and Piner's playing hard as a 20-year-old, and of course I'm sure they would love to be in a position where they were on a championship team and a team that was making a run at it. But what they're giving to this organization and the mentorship to the younger players, like down the road, you know, our hope and belief is that we look back and say, okay, going through those tough times and having the Olsons and the Aginlas and the Chornies and the Girois and all these younger guys getting this experience and going through the adversity and the ups and downs and stuff, these guys are going to be battle-tested and better for it and hungry. And, you know, for us, it's every day. Like, we're not just going to show up to training camp next year and just all of a sudden things change. It's what we do right now every single day. You know, practices, games, development skates, workouts, the mindset of the guys, that's going to springboard us into how we start next season and build. And the future is very bright. As much as it's tough being up here some nights after, you know, challenging games and games like tonight where you feel like, you know, a play here, a play there could have changed the outcome. I'm very confident we'll be looking back at these experiences and saying we probably won't be where we want to get to had we not gone through them.
Well, speaking of setting the culture here down the stretch, big story for your team coming into the night, obviously, the return of your captain. And I feel like, yeah, I would be remiss if I did not ask you what you thought of the play of Ryan Lynn in his first game back.
Doesn't look like he missed a beat. You know, I'm sure he would have liked to capitalize on a few of his chances, but up and down the ice, he was great. Provided a really steady, calm presence. He, you know, he changes the game in all three zones with and without the puck. It seemed like he didn't miss a beat, you know, and even talking to him before the game, it was, you know, sometimes when you come back, you can be a hair off with your passing or your playmaking, and he was zipping passes right on the tape and, you know, reading forechecks and beating him up the ice. And his conditioning will come, his pace will come, but I thought he did a really fine job for being out for 14 games.
We've talked a lot over the last month about how your injured players have still been a presence around the team and been in the room in intermissions and that sort of thing, but what was the difference like just having him back in the room as a full-time player today?
That was great. I mean, I'm really happy for him. I'm really proud of him. He's worked really hard to put himself in a position to be back. That's not an easy injury. And so we were, you know, we had the front row seats to seeing the work that he was putting in, that Mathis is putting in, that all the guys that were injured, you know, it wasn't looking for a way out or finding ways to maybe one more week. It was them beating down Bernie's door and my door. I think I'm good. And I think for young players, especially players for Mathis and for Ryan that are in their draft year, that go through a lengthy injury like they went through and are going through, a lot of it is the mental weight that can put on them, because they're competitors. They want to be there helping the team. They want to be out there showcasing their abilities to NHL scouts. And so to have to sit there and, you know, not be able to make road trips or not be able to be on the ice and help their teammates kills them. It kills them, and it can really you know, can be really challenging for them mentally. So I think all those guys that have been out for a while did a good job just remaining as positive as you can be given the situation. And, you know, we're just welcoming them back and excited to have Mathis back down the stretch.
Coach, Carson Carls and Daxon Rudolph, you obviously saw them in the prospects game, and probably a couple of them a little bit maybe more ready for National Hockey League physically than a guy like Ryan Lynn. And I said on the pregame show, Lynn has got to be driving scouts nuts because what's he going to be like as a 23-year-old defenseman? How do you visualize that? I mean, he may not go in the top three or four picks as far as defense, including the kid in the OHL that I guess skips my mind right now.
Like Reed?
Yeah, it's the Reed kid. What is the future? How do you, and we won't go be much longer, but how do you see Ryan Lynn? You only got a couple more, you know, he's going to get drafted at sometime between now and the end of the year, obviously, or June rather. But how do you see him as a 22-year-old?
Well, I think he's got a growth mindset, and he cares a lot about the game. He cares a lot about winning. So he'll just – he's the type of kid that whatever feedback his NHL team gives him, his coaches give him, he goes and he works on those things. You know, there's no ego there. You know, it's more for the scouts to make those determinations. But just his overall competitiveness, his desire to do well, to grow, to improve, to learn the game, I just have a hard time – believing that he's not going to be an impact guy sooner than later in the NHL. And he's still, and he's very self-aware. You know, I think sometimes players feel like they're ready or they're like, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. I can do this. And I think he's self-aware where he knows the areas that he has to improve and where he has to grow. And I think just his impact on all sides of the puck and in every situation, you feel confident and comfortable using him. So, you know, I guess where is he going to be at 22? We're going to probably be watching him somewhere.
You know, if I was doing this on television, had the opportunity to do that for 12 years, I would have had a highlight pack on Ryan Lynn in the first 5 minutes, maybe his first five shifts in that period. I mean, I don't know if he made a mistake.
Yeah, very rarely does. Very rarely does. But it was terrific to see him back on the ice.
Sounds like talking points you may have passed along to a couple of scouts recently.
Yeah.
Maybe a well-rehearsed conversation at this
I've had point. A few of those, for sure. I've had a few, but, I mean, that's part of our job is to promote our players and, you know, give the scouts our insight and feedback. But those guys are in the rink every day, and they know what they're doing. They've been doing it for years. They're very smart hockey minds, and Ryan will go to the team and in the position that he's supposed to. That's, you know, that's every year. I've had... You know, now I think three first-rounders in the past 2 years, and, you know, they don't necessarily know exactly when and where they're going to go, but however it shakes out, it's meant to be that way. So we're just excited for them.
I'm not going to have many chances to talk to you. I got three left at home.
Yeah.
Two left, whatever it is. What do you look forward to? I promise my last question. Of the guys that are not your Bantam drive, I think there's however many, 10 or 15 first-round Bantam picks on this team. What are you looking for in the other guys that are fairly new to this hockey club between now and the end of the season?
Just keep driving the culture, the environment, the behaviors that we're trying to establish. And I think they've done a good job. Like, we see them every day at the rink and in practice, and it's been a roller coaster of a year for sure. But the progress that they're making as a group, you can't win championships, and you can't have a highly competitive and a high performance environment before you get the culture right. And I know that's super cliche to say as a coach, but it's their attitude, it's how they treat one another, it's how their mindset going in with enthusiasm and purpose every single day. And that's something we've had to drive home all year, and it can be exhausting, and it takes a lot of management, but we see the progress that they're making, and we just need to keep taking steps forward regardless of the circumstances that are around you. You got to keep taking steps forward. You got to keep growing every single day. Like, these players have so much to play for. There's scouts in the building every single night. They're working to leave a mark on management, coaches, their teammates. Like, we're building this thing, and it's the question we ask them all the time. Are you going to be a part of that? you know, when you go through the change, like it takes conflict, it takes friction, difficult situations. But the guys that you bring in and the environment that you create are the ones that are going to drive it home. And you know, we're encouraged with where we're at. There's still a ton of work to do, not only this year, but into the summer and in the future. But the hunger from the group, the coaches, the players, you know, there's been, you know, we're keeping our foot on the gas and there's been no letdown. And you go through a night like tonight and then you learn from it, you grow, you reflect, you do the necessary things you need to do to prepare for tomorrow. And then you go to bed and you wake up and you bring enthusiasm and positivity and hunger and the determination to get the results that you want tomorrow.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah,
well, Parker, appreciate it.
I know it's not always the easiest to climb up the steps and come talk to us here in the banquet hall, but I always enjoy these chats. So
yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah, of course, I enjoy them too. And, we only got a few more, so don't hesitate. Take as much time.
Oh, you're very kind, man.
Yeah, green light.
Thank you.
Green light.
All right,
thank
you.
Take care, guys.
There he is, head coach of the Vancouver Giants, Parker Burgess, on a night where his team falls 4-1 to the visiting Seattle Thunderbirds.